kids and creatures of special corners of the world where there's like shadows and dark things and other fluffy cookies and muffins and stuff like that. Welcome to another after-rot show of after-rotting greatness and fun and kookiness and all this other weird crap that I can just come up off the top of my head because that's what I do. How are you? I hope you are well. I am well. I have a guest tonight. Ezekiel Kincaid will be joining us tonight. How is it going, Ezekiel?
It is going really, really good, my friend. Thank you for having me back on the show. I had a great time with you last time, so I'm looking forward to the adventures that the night has for us.
Oh, the night is full of all kinds of weird shit, because that's just what the night has done. Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? I'm very glad that as I look at the board, my volume's good, your volume's good, it's all good, no technical difficulties there, so fantastic. Maybe there's technical difficulties. No, that one looks fine.
Good, so we're good.
You have a new book out.
I do.
What's up with that? How is it going, and how does it differ and continue on from the previous book? What was it, The Dawning?
The Dawning. Yes, the Gathering is book two in my three-book Dreadful Death series, and it picks up exactly where The Dawning left off. So it is a straight continuation. Each book in the series is that way. It's like watching episodes of something. It picks up right where the last one left off. And in The Gathering, we get to see the main character, the young girl Theodosia, slide deeper and deeper into her darkness, deeper into her demonic influence by her guardian and the main entity, the Tetramet. And we see a heightened ability in her psychic powers as well. The plot of this book really centers around Theodosia coming into her own and embracing the evil and the darkness around her. And through that, her family begins to be really affected, especially her mother, Sarah. And you see this heartbreaking journey for her mother, Sarah, who is watching these things happen to her daughter. And it's tearing her heart out and playing a real psychological toll on her. Also, Theodosia, it's called The Gathering because she begins to gather the children in the town around her for her. The Tetramet is the main entity in this series. And she begins to gather the children around her for this Tetramet cult and Tetramet worship in order to build up to the last book in the series that is by far the darkest and most depraved, and where Theodosia and her cult is unleashed full force up on the families in this town.
Excellent. I love hearing about unleashing forces upon the families of the town. It sounds like doom.
There's plenty of doom to come in this one, man, let me tell you.
I love Doom. I like Dr. Doom as well, but Doom! Doom is always fantastic. It's a good story element. It's like play with the dice and somebody's flesh melts off.
Yes, yes.
By the way, Nee from Twitter says hi. She's in the chat room. He is in the chat room.
That's Nee. Thank you for joining, Nee. Nee is awesome. She is a great supporter of my writing and my author journey. So thank you, Nee, for being here.
And I say hi and thanks, too, because that's what zombies do.
Yes.
It's one of these days I'm going to convert over to video, and then people will see me with my facial expressions as I say these things. And it's like, that could be good or bad. I don't know yet.
I think you should. I think you should. Give it a try.
Well, once I got the working space where it's like, oh, this actually looks like a studio now. Not like right now. Right now it looks like my place where I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Just now, so I moved into a new place.
Cool.
And I'm in the process of setting my room up with all of the things around me that give me inspiration for my writing. So I've got my VHS horror shelf, my DVD horror shelf. I've got my movie posters. I've got all my Vampirella comic books aligning the walls, all my Army of Darkness comic books. So it is turning into the Ezekiel Kincaid cave right now.
Excellent.
And I love it.
And I can probably outdo you on the Army of Darkness comics.
I bet you could.
Oh, I can guarantee it.
You'll have to send me some pics so I can drool over them.
I have every single comic they've put out for Army of Darkness.
I hate you.
And for every issue, every variant cover that I could possibly grab a hold of, which is many.
I don't think I want to come back on the show anymore, Zach.
No! But you may have more Vampirella comics. Actually, that all depends. Are we talking old Vampirella or new Vampirellas?
Oh, no, the Warren.
The Warren Vampirellas. Okay, yeah. Those are good ones.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Do you have number one? Because I don't.
No, I don't, but it is on my radar, and
it's $1,000 book.
I know it is, and my fiance and I are really trying to decide when we are going to purchase this thing because it is. I've told her like it is out of all the comics I have ever wanted, a Vampirella number one is the top of my list.
It's your real choice.
I'm going to get this comic. One of these days, it will be in my room.
Now, you know that they did a reprint, right?
Yes.
I have the reprint. That's only a $10 comic, but I have that one.
Yes, I want the authentic Vampirella.
What's the lowest issue you have?
Number 13.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
I'm getting there. I have them up on my wall. I'm looking at them right now. I still got a good ways to go, but I have about 30.
Nice.
So I'm getting there. I have a comic shop here in Baton Rouge that supplies me. The owner knows that I'm a huge Vampirella fan, and so he every time he gets some, he puts them out for me, and
Excellent.
I go grab.
So, Dynamite publisher that publishes the newer Vampirella comics,
yeah,
put out two books. One was The Art of Vampirella, The Warren Years, and one is The Art of Vampirella, The Dynamite Years. Both beautiful books. All it is just the covers of each of the individual issues.
Yes. Do you have that?
Yes.
Yes. I need to get one so I can drool over the covers.
Exactly. I mean, Vampirella number one is an awesome cover art.
Yes.
Joe Jusko, I think it was. Was it Jusko or Frazetta?
Who did
crap.
Number one?
Crap. Now I need to know.
I don't know.
I'm going to find out in a second. Because, you know, that's one of those things that I have to know. That is not what I'm looking for, because that's miscellaneous, unrelated information. Neil Adams. Oh, okay. That's not who I thought did that. No, it's Frank Frazetta. Yeah. Neil Adams did a tribute in one of the Dynamite issues.
Okay.
But yes, Frank Frazetta did the cover. Love his work. Always have.
Yes. Absolutely.
And we have Evie in the chat room now, too. Hi.
Hello, Evie.
So, did you ever get into any of the creepies or eeries?
I have some creepy and eeries hanging here on my wall.
Excellent.
Yes. I don't have any that date back too far yet. My oldest issue is Creepy 110. My oldest eerie issue is 43. Those have been a little harder to come by. Like my supplier still gets them in at times, and so I grab them. But I don't know, for some reason he gets the Vampirelles, which I'm not complaining about.
Well, it's all good. If you're ever up in the Toronto way, I will tell you about a shop that has a whole bunch of them.
Yes. Well,
that's my shop.
Your shop. That's right. Yeah. You own the shop.
Yep.
I remember that now.
It has a bunch available for sale. Because I love that shit.
Yes. So, my fiance, Bethany, if you're listening, we're going to take a road trip to Canada pretty soon. So, ready.
Now, every time I see Baton Rouge, I want to keep saying it's Baton.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it sounds funny.
Yeah.
Because every time I read it, it's like Baton Rouge. It's like, okay, there's supposed to be a French accent on it, but it's like, I want to say Baton.
Yeah, lots of French influence down here. Well, so you wouldn't be too far off in saying it that way.
Yeah, but I like Baton, Baton, Baton. Ah, damn it, now I got into the part. Okay, we're not going to go any farther in there. So, how has the writing been doing? I mean, I know you've been changing, trying to get back into it again. The last time we talked, it was about 5-6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I have been at it full force. The Adventures of Johnny Walker Ranger Volume 2 is going into editing in December.
Cool.
So it will be out probably early next year at some point, and I'm excited about that release because those who have read Johnny know how just off the wall, insane it is, and bloody. It's like in the vein of Evil Dead horror comedy.
And who doesn't like that?
Right. So Volume 2, it's more blood and guts. It's more one-line singers from Johnny. Lots of humor that will, like, the biggest compliment I get about the Johnny book, and I foresee it about Book 2, is people tell me, like, you know, you read horror comedies and you're kind of laughing in your mind a little bit and you may smirk. But people have told me they have actually had to put the book down because they're laughing out loud so hard at times.
Excellent. So that's the way that shit should be.
As a huge compliment. So I hope to bring people a lot more laughs because, you know, not only do I like to scare the crap out of people, I also like to make them laugh. And Johnny is kind of my offensive humor outlet. Like, if you like South Park style humor, you will love Johnny because nothing is off limits. I make fun of absolutely everything in it. Nothing is off limits. So if you like the South Park style humor mixed with Evil Dead type violence and horror, then you're gonna love Johnny. So I'm excited about Volume 2 coming out. Johnny gets sentenced. He does. But let's just put it this way. In the book, there is time travel, an Amish paradise, and Amish zombies and Amish zombie animals.
Okay. Amish zombies I've heard of before. Not Amish zombie animals, though.
Yes.
Excellent. I like it. Sounds like fun. Sounds like going back in time.
Yes. Johnny is a lot of fun to write. I like to write Johnny when I have had a
couple of drinks.
A bad day.
Oh, okay. Bad days. Yeah. That way you can kill a whole bunch of people. It's like, hey, I was just writing, not really killing people.
When I have a bad day, he makes me laugh. Or when I'm like really down or sad or something, I always pick up on Johnny.
Excellent.
It's kind of a good outlet for me. So I've got that coming out. I've got book 3 of the Dreadful Death series coming out. That one's called The Morning. I've got a horror fantasy that I am trying to get an agent for. Called The Gospel of Lilith. It is a a story that mixes the Hebrew and occult origin of Lilith, as well as I throw some of my kind of own fictional origin.
Oh, that's right. You have some religious training.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, because every time I hear Lilith, it's like, okay, we're going to the Mother of Monsters or the birth of vampires and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that seems to be what a lot of people do.
I take it, I don't go that route. I take it, I stick to the origin mythos and go with there. So, you know, you're not going to get the same thing that you usually get with Lilith, like vampire or... Yeah. A monster. You're still gonna get this dark, evil entity, but how she gets there, and how she becomes this way, I think is really going to hit people hard. I think there's gonna be some scenes that really draw on some raw emotions. So, Lilith is it's very. Dark. It's not dark like my Dreadful Death stuff. It's more dark and tragic in what happens to her.
Isn't it always fun to try and compare? My darkness is like...
yes.
That guy's darkness, right there. He's got a switch. It's like the same switch. Oh, wait. She does too. Oh, okay, so it's like those two. But not these other ones in the middle. Because like, I don't know what they're doing. They got their own thing. These two, that's what mine is like.
Yep.
So I got, find it's funny whenever anybody asks.
Yeah, and trying to pinpoint which darkness you're writing about.
Yeah.
And explain that. So Lilith is not the supernatural. I mean, it is supernatural because it is a mythology and there's angels and demons and things like that. But not in the form of the way the Dreadful Death series is. This is more of a fantasy world.
Okay. So less of the flaying of the flesh, but more of the, oh, hey, cute animals, less cute animals.
Yes, there are lots of very cool creatures in this one. Because one of the comments that I got on my Dreadful Death series, because it has creatures in it, people talked about just the originality and the vividness of the creatures. So I'm like, well, apparently people like the creatures I do and I can do it well. So I'm going to take this talent and put it into a horror fantasy and see how this works for people. And the feedback on it has been good from my beta readers, from my editors that I've had working on it. So I'm looking forward to that. And then my work in progress right now that I'm actually writing is yet another different style of horror. It is a psychological body horror.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I know what those are like.
And it is called One Flesh. And it is about a womanizing therapist. And... I'll just kind of leave it at that. And it's a revenge story, and people are like, oh God, another revenge story.
I was gonna say.
If you have read my stuff, you know that even if I do take something that is a trope, it will be like nothing you've ever read. It will be original.
Well, that's good. So
I can promise my readers that this is not just your average revenge story. There is a reason that this is called One Flesh, and you will see what happens in the book and why that is. And so for gore fans, like if you're a gore fan,
yes.
This is going to satisfy you.
Okay.
If you're a psychological horror fan,
yes.
This is going to satisfy you because it is a major psychological breaking down of people.
You're breaking down of people. Well, like slice and dice breaking down?
Both.
Excellent. Have you seen a movie called American Mary?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So, one flesh is what I'm working on now, and it is definitely satisfying the sense of justice that I have that is very strong within me towards evildoers. So
You
I
mean
am
like normal people?
I am taking great pleasure in writing this book, and maybe too much pleasure in the pain and psychological torment that is being dished out.
Nah, they had it coming. I've been on the subway. I haven't been on there in 5 years, but I've seen how that's like.
Yes. So that is what I have. I also have another shorter book that I'm working to get up on godless.com right now. I'm
What
just
the heck
waiting.
is godless.com?
So if you go, godless.com is an indie horror site that it's all ebooks, and they do like original publications, but they also do ebook publications of from other publishers who have allowed them to put their stuff. So it's kind of like for indie horror, it's kind of like a catch-all site for
Cool.
all your favorite indie authors. So you can go on there, and if you have a favorite indie author, they're more than likely have some stuff on Godless. But I have one that will be coming out called Night of the Blood Come.
Of
And
course, let's have more blood splatter.
it is a blue collar redneck horror
Sorry, hold on.
story.
Hold on. A blue collar redneck?
Yep, blue collar redneck horror
Okay.
story. You know, because I mean, that's my culture, that's my people down here. I see a lot of that. And so it is a redneck blue collar horror story about a warlock's jizz gets on a Ouija board, and it summons this sperm demon that is bringing havoc to this beer guzzling next family, and he is their only hope of salvation. He's like the worst possible hero you would ever want to try to fight something like this.
Save us, Bubba. You're our only hope.
That's pretty much it. And he gets help from his dead buddy Earl, who died in a bungee jumping accident because they
Of
didn't
course
use,
his name is Earl.
they didn't use bungee cords. Instead, they did what all good rednecks do, and you come up with your own version of it. And they tied a bunch of underwear straps together in the underwear hold, so Earl fell to his death. But Earl is able to come back from the dead and help Jim figure out how to beat this sperm monster demon. So Night of the Blood Come. Be looking for that probably next year on Godless. I'll be keeping giving out updates on that, but
EV in the chat room says, like an incubus?
no, it's not an incubus. Think okay, I'm drawing way back in the B horror movies.
As you should.
The Deadly Spawn.
I've seen that.
So think of creatures like the Deadly Spawn. Like take one of those creatures and make it a giant sperm. So it's
Okay.
not an incubus. It's more of it's a literal sperm monster.
Gotcha.
Don't ask.
That
Just read the story when it comes out.
weird. But that's cool.
It is weird. It is weird. So, horror fans who kind of like that outlandish bloodfest type stuff will like Night of the Blood Come.
So I posted in the chat room in Bubba the Redneck Werewolf. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's hilarious.
Yes.
And Evie replied, "Facepalm," which makes me laugh, because she knows I love to watch some really bad movies.
Yep,
Oh,
that is
and he
good
loves
math.
Bubba the Redneck Werewolf, so that's awesome.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. Movie was stupid silly, but it was funny.
Oh yeah.
So. Back to the writing. So you It sounds like what you're doing is you're carrying on with multiple projects at the same time, like a little bit of this one, a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one. Then it's like, oh, that one's now done. Then it's getting around it, and you keep going round robin. How many are you trying to do on a regular basis? Are you trying to keep a bunch of them going at the same time?
I'm trying to have something, consistently being churned out, so that my readers will kind of always have something of mine to be able to read and look forward to next. So I in the way that I do my writing, I jump back and forth. So I usually have about three projects going on, and I do it that way because it keeps me, like, it's just my own personal way. It keeps me from getting stale and bogged down. So I'll work on one type of horror for a while, and I'll write, 10,000 words or so on that one. Then I'll jump to another one, and then to another one. So I usually have about three writing projects going on, and kind of jumping back and forth in between those. And I find that for me, it always keeps me on my writing toes, so that I never kind of fall into a lull. It keeps kind of each part of my weird brain active, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that. I find my current output to be a lot less lacking, but when I was at my height, I had pretty much the same thing. I had an index of like 900 of these stories, 900 of those stories, and then it's like, okay, these are all the ones I'm working on. And things changed. Do you find anything that works against you in that regard? I mean, besides the current health condition of pandemic and whatever the hell else, and all of the society and stuff doing all that stuff.
So the way that I write, and I've had to just accept this is the way that it is, because it's just the way my creative process works. And this is why some people can crank out books, and
Stephen King.
I can. Like, I wrote Johnny Walker Ranger Demon Slayer, the first book, in 3 months. I haven't had that type of production since then. So the way I kind of operate is I will write, and I will get words out on a page. And sometimes there's been times where I've even written half of a book, and then I've just gone back and looked at it and said, I don't like this. And I have totally changed the storyline, maybe even added a character, maybe even taken away a character. So the way that I do it is I just kind of vomit on a page for a while. And then I sort through it and try to make art out of it. And then I vomit on it again and make more art until I vomited on it enough times and played around with it and have gotten what I want. So that's my writing process. It's what works for me. And I do that back and forth between stories. And it will take me a while. I've tried to do it differently, but it just doesn't work for me. That's my process. That is what works for me. So the downside of it is it can take me a while to accomplish projects, longer than I would like, but I would much rather have a finished product that I am satisfied with and that I feel confident about putting in the hands of my readers, than just being able to crank out something and saying, hey, yeah, I'm putting out 2 books a year. It's like, for me, like, if I'm putting out 2 books a year, but they're mediocre, then I'm doing myself a disservice, and I'm re doing my readers a disservice as well. So
Absolutely.
it takes me longer, I want to make sure that I have the quality that I want attached to my work and my talent, and also my editors and my publishers as well.
Now, for a book, a standard book, what are you using as a guideline for how big you want that book to be? Not like the short one you were talking about for Godless or whatever, but like on The Gathering, The Dawning, and your regular line of books that you're trying to do.
It just depends on the story, really. Like,
so you're not aiming for a target?
Not necessarily. I usually have my story idea, and I just kind of go with it. Now, when I start writing, I do have a general idea of, you know, is this going to be a full-length novel, or is it going to be a novella?
Okay.
Now, as far as word count, like, I don't know. I mean, the Lilith book is about 80,000 words. The whole Each Dreadful Death book is only about 40,000 words. Johnny Volume 1 was just over 120,000 words. Johnny Volume 2 is going to probably is about 108,000 words. So
a bit of range.
Yeah, it really depends on the story and the characters and the outline and the story arcs that I have planned for it. So I try not to limit myself to a specific word count. Like, I save that if I'm submitting short stories, because, you know, you have to have those within a specific word count.
Yeah.
You know, some publishers want 3,000 to 5,000 or 5,000 to 7,500 or 10,000. So
you really 600,000.
So you really have to make sure that you were getting your story into the parameters. And that's good, because what that does help you with is it keeps you from trying to write fluff, like only what is necessary for the story.
Yeah. Now, have you ever tried doing a drabble?
Yes, I have some drabbles published.
Excellent.
Oh, I have.
Those are weird.
Yeah, 100 word drabbles all the way to, you know, books the size of Johnny. So I try to dabble in it all. Dabble, drabble.
Dabble in the drabble. Drabble in the dabble. Yeah, okay. I just find drabbles are like weird. It's like, what can you really say in 100 words? Not a lot, but you can say it many times.
Yes.
So they're fun. They're like, you don't really get paid for them, but they can be fun. I did know one guy who did an entire book full of drabbles. All of his chapters were basically 100-word chapters.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty thick book, too. It was like 200,000 words. And it's like,
oh,
my God, man. What the hell did you do?
Props weird. For that one.
Oh, absolutely. He was a good writer at it. I don't think he's ever done another one like that, but he's done other books since then.
Yeah.
It was just an odd thing when I met him, and it was about 10 years ago at a convention down in the Pittsburgh area. I was like, wow, that's impressive. Before I even knew what a drabble was.
Yeah, it is. Drabbles really, really force you to choose your words wisely.
Yeah. How many times can I use the word is and the? No, I'm taking it out all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much fun.
So they're challenging. Trying to think what else has been going on. Oh, since last time we talked, I've started my chaplain residency. So
excellent.
I'm working as a chaplain now, and I absolutely love it.
So you can bless people?
Yeah. You get to be with people in their deepest points of pain.
And help people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I really, really love doing that. It's a very gratifying and satisfying job. It's also, you know, it's emotionally draining at days because you deal with heavy, heavy stuff and everything. But I am just very thankful that I have the opportunity to walk with people through stuff like that in life. So I'm loving being a chaplain, and it's kind of funny, because
funny how?
Well, listen, not being a chaplain, but it's funny when people find out that I am a chaplain, because a lot of times, especially on my author side, like, people see the really sarcastic, dry, cutting humor of Ezekiel Kincaid, and then they find out, like, what, you're a chaplain? Oh my God, are you trying to give comfort? But what they don't see is, yes, I have like this really rough exterior. I have this side that likes to banter and be sarcastic and trash talking and all of this stuff. But the other side of Ezekiel Kincaid is this man of deep faith, with a deep, deep love for people and a deep compassion for the hurting. And so it's funny sometimes to see those two worlds collide and get people's reaction. I live for moments like that.
So especially funny, ironic, not funny, yeah. Haha.
Yeah, funny, cool. Ironic. Especially when they find out that you're a horror writer. Like, you're a horror writer and a chaplain?
I'm going to let you know, you are not the only one in that particular duology.
Yes, I've noticed this becoming a little more common.
I have known about 5 or 6 people who are in one side of the faith, either a chaplain, a shepherd, or other kinds of different levels of the chain or whatever, and mm-hmm. they're all horror writers. I was like, wait, do you guys have like a help group or something? Because that seems to be fun. But to that whole helping thing, I can't remember who said it. I remember a paraphrasing thing. Best way to help yourself is to help others.
Yep.
And I have no idea where that's from, but it's just always something that's been in my head every once in a while. It's like, I try and help people, but there's obviously only so much one can do when one is not exposed to everything, and I don't want to be exposed to everything because people.
Yeah. Yep. And it's, especially I'm an introvert by nature, which I know a lot of writers are, so they'll feel me on.
No.
So, you know, the social interaction too, you know, by the end of the day, my tank is empty and I am like longing for that alone time where I can go and read and write and meditate and pray and just fill my tank back up so that I can go be emptied out the next day.
Well, as long as it's a renewable resource.
Yes, it is. But I have to absolutely make sure that I'm doing that and that I have my me time, or I'm no good to anybody.
Excellent. So being in that whole social interaction thing, have you been to much in the way of conventions in the last little while?
I have not. I'm hoping. I know I had some planned that I was going to try to go to this year, but I ended up getting this chaplain residency, and so that has kind of consumed all of my time outside of writing, because it is, not only are you doing your floor work and visiting patients, but you're also getting your accreditation, so there's schoolwork and classwork outside of it. So that has kind of been my life right now. So all the cons and conventions have been put on hold until I am done with this residency next September. So I probably won't be making anything in this next year.
Oh, okay. Well, I just did a quick search and it's like there's actually several out in that area. Out mm-hmm. in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Texas, a couple of others there.
Yep.
Actually, you're probably not that far away from a friend of mine who's also been on the show. She's also an author and a musician. Okay. Beth Patterson.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, her last name's changed. But yes, Bad Beth.
Okay.
She's out of Louisiana. Yes, Louisiana. Where's Mardi Gras? Mardi Gras in Louisiana, right?
Right.
Yeah, so she's in there, out of there. I think she's touring right now with somebody.
Okay.
But yeah, she's actually pretty cool too. Pretty prolific on the writing and on the music.
Nice. That's a great combo talent.
Oh yeah. It's actually pretty good. I've heard some of her music and I've read some of her writing. Pretty good. I haven't read any of yours yet, because you haven't sent me any arcs yet.
I have not.
And if you had, I didn't have time to read it anyway, so.
I will send you an email with everything as soon as we get
up. Oh, don't do that.
Yes, I am.
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
I don't have time. I have somebody else who's actually asked me to read some of their stuff. And it's like, I'm going to tell you, I will definitely read it, but I can't tell you when because I have way too much to do.
Yeah, well, look, you've got copies in waiting whenever you're ready.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Just let me know, and I'll spam you.
Spam? Dude, I got special filters for that crap. Spam? That's not spam. Oh, that's a parrot. That's wrong. Wrong skit. Spam on spam on spam. I can't remember the rest of the Monty Python skit about spam. Oh, well.
I remember the Monty Python. Yeah.
Monty Python's awesome for everything, right? There is absolutely no situation you cannot come up with a Monty Python quote for something.
Yeah. I let my oldest son just about a month and a half ago watch Life of Brian. He thought it was the greatest thing ever, and we had excellent. A good time watching that and just laughing and laughing. So
did he have the look on his face when those scenes come up? It's like,
yeah,
they point at the screen. Yeah. What the hell did they just say? What? Oh my!
Yeah, and then of course the very last scene of the movie with them singing. You know it, that he just I don't want to give it away for anybody who hadn't seen it.
If anybody hasn't seen it by now, they're just not gonna.
Yeah, the last scene where they're dying on the cross is singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Yes.
He thought that was one of the greatest things ever. He was...
Oh, it's hilarious.
It is.
Because it is context humor. It's like, I love Monty Python. Their stuff was awesome.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, what else are we doing for fun? Learning things, writing things, watching any good movies, TV shows. By the way, have you watched Wednesday yet?
I have not.
It's fun.
That's what I heard.
Willow just started today.
Yes, I've been seeing that previewed, so I want to check that out. I saw another writer friend of mine talking about it on Facebook and saying how great it was. So I was like, I'm going to have to check this out then.
If you like the movie, you're going to like the show. If you hate the movie, you're going to hate the show.
That's what he said. I love the movie, so I've got a feeling I will probably like the show. Movies I've been watching, I've kind of been on a little bit of a found footage kick. I've been trying to go through Tubi and find something good in there. And, you know, you got hit or miss things. You kind of have to wade through the crap. What else? Oh, I've been watching, I have Tales from the Crypt collection, so I've been rewatching that.
Cool.
A rewatch.
1899 was a new show that came. 1899 was a new show that came out recently.
Okay.
Good show. First two episodes are a little slow. After that, whoa, this is getting cool.
Sounds like I like historical stuff, so
I'm not going to say nothing.
All right,
I'm going to say something on the next show when I talk about TV's shows and movies, but that's when I'm going to actually spoil it for people.
Make them wait a week.
Exactly.
Tune in next week.
Well, that's what happens. I have guests, and then I have shows where I talk. So it's like it's a round robin stuff.
Absolutely.
Got to keep it well balanced. People's sanity has to be kept in check because otherwise they all become like me.
What's wrong with that?
I say the same thing except for the fact that they keep eating my cookies and I can't have that.
Slap their hand away from the jar.
Slap?
Or put a little mousetrap in there that snaps their finger.
Slap and snap finger? Why? I have a machete. It's much better. Oh. More effective. Adds extra special secret sauce.
I like that.
It's called blood.
I like that.
Oh, have you seen Terrifier 2?
Absolutely. I love it.
Oh my God, that made me laugh my ass off the entire time.
Oh, it was so freaking brutal, man.
So somebody asked me after I watched this, oh, were you puking afterwards? It's like, why? That shit was funny.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he's like, yeah, okay, we're not talking anymore. It's fine, buddy. I don't care. It was just funny.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was... over 2 hours of just absolute mayhem and carnage.
Yeah, that one scene with the girl in the bedroom where he's like, I thought she was dead, and then she turns her head, it's like, wow! That
Yes.
was awesome.
And man, like Damien Leone and what he does with the special effects in that movie is just absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Just phenomenal work there. So I am a huge Terrifier fan. I fell in love with it, with
All
Damien Leone.
Hallows.
Yeah, All Hallows Eve. When it first came out, and I watched it, I found it. There was a lone remaining video store here in Baton Rouge. It's gone now, but several years ago, like when All Hallows Eve first came out, I went in there, and he had a copy of it, and I rented it, and went home, and that's when I fell in love with Art the Clown.
Excellent.
And so when Terrifier, the first one came out, I was like, all my dreams have been fulfilled.
So, I like how the second one has come out, and it's not the typical Hollywood franchise movie because, like, yeah, you're not going to see this on TV. If you do, it's going to be edited, and it's like, sorry, regular cable. I not meant streaming service because the streaming services, that's where it's at right now. Where did I see it? Netflix? I think it was on Netflix. Netflix or Amazon, can't remember which one. But Terrifier 1 is not. I just happened to have that on disc from when that came out. So I was like, yes, love these movies. But I was so afraid, which it was not the case, but I'm afraid that the next one will be, oh, look, Rob Zombie doing Halloween. It's like, thunk. That's what I don't want to see, and I hope they don't do it.
I hope Damien Leone stays true to himself and his craft
Absolutely.
and
I mean, it
what
took
he's
him long enough.
Yeah, but man, it was worth the wait.
Absolutely. Tons of fun.
Tons of gore fun.
So, I read any other good comics besides the Vampirella?
I have just finished reading. I got a comic adaptation of Romero's Land of the Dead.
Okay.
So I read that. And I also read his one that I got. It's a comic adaptation of Night of the Living Dead. So
Okay.
I picked those up because they caught my eye. The covers caught my eye. I was like, I got to get these and check these out. So I read those. They were pretty good.
They're graphic.
I also got an adaptation of The Howling.
Oh, I read that one as well.
I enjoyed that one.
Queen of the Werewolves, I think it was the subtitle. Yeah.
My fiance, because I like EC horror,
Excellent.
she got me a couple of like Haunts of Fear, Vault of Horror, an original Tales from the Crypt print, crime
That's very
suspense
cool.
stories. So I read those and I pulled out of my comic collection because I haven't read it in a while, but the Predator Race Wars series.
Nice. Good artwork. I remember the covers on those. Those were fun.
They were some really cool artwork. So that's what I've been reading this past week, comic wise. Book wise, I am reading The Exorcist again. I pulled that one back out. Like The Exorcist is my all-time biggest influence. I was tweeting on Twitter the other day that I think there's something wrong with me that The Exorcist is my comfort horror movie. Like when I watch it, I want to relax and have a good night. I'm just like, oh, I'll just put on The Exorcist and fall asleep.
There are worse movies.
So,
Legally Blonde.
now, yes, if I said something like that, y'all should worry about it and be like, Zeke is not okay.
Okay.
He needs to go to a doctor.
When you watch the show Wednesday, you'll get why I said that.
Okay.
But I won't say anything more.
Well, I'm gonna have to watch it.
Yes, actually, it's quite fun. I giggled a lot.
Okay.
I mean, the girl who's doing Wednesday, I think, pretty much nailed it quite well. They did kind of make her okay. They softened her up at the end and whatever. Okay, she's got friends now, but whatever. It's all cool.
Yeah. Yes.
On the Land of the Dead books, there's actually quite a few of the Night of the Living Dead adaptations. There's Night, then there's a couple of sequel series. You saw the Dawn, or sorry, Land of the Dead. I think there was a Dawn of the Dead one. There's a few of them. I see a whole bunch of them, and I bring any of the Dead books in all the time. And I know that there's a bunch of them.
So the Night of the Living Dead one that I read, the cover is kind of like that metallic, like Night of the Living Dead is in like the metallic silver, and there's a hand reaching out.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's the one that I got.
The only downside is that particular publisher, I think it's Avatar. Yeah, I think it's Avatar. They produce a bunch of covers of the exact same issue, and they keep reprinting and reissuing it with new covers.
Yeah.
Like, kind of decreases the value of it as a general rule.
Yep.
But it's still cool. It's fun. I mean, Night of the Living Dead. I love that stuff.
Yeah, so trying to think what else, man.
Yeah, I know. There's so much out there coming out, and it's like bombarding us all the time. And even just right off the top of my head, I try and think of stuff, and it's like Image has a bunch of horror titles coming out over the last several months or whatever. They've been releasing new stuff. And then there's more new stuff coming out. And it's like, which one can I remember off the top of my head? I know I've read a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I liked them.
Yeah, see, it's been several months since I've read anything Image, so I need to get back to that, because Image is always my go-to horror comics.
Cool. Oh, they have a new series that started, I think it's in three issues now, called The Boogeyman. The Boogeyman.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a different take on The Boogeyman. I like it.
Okay, so you recommend?
Yep.
Okay. I will have to check that out. I'll have to see if... I'm sure the guy here...
Probably does.
I will have to check. I pulled out... So I've kind of been revisiting stuff I've already read that really has influenced my writing, because I always need that extra inspiration at times. So I pulled out The Exorcist. I'm reading through that. I also pulled out F. Paul Wilson's The Keep.
Nice.
And I also pulled out Clive Barker's Cabal. And I'm also a slush reader for a very high-profile horror publisher. I'm not going to say which one, because I don't want death threats for all the stuff I have rejected.
Yes, that is the ultimate boondoggle for being a slush reader.
Yes, so I will not say which press that is that I slush read for, but you know that takes up a good chunk of my reading time as cool. Well. But I enjoy it.
Oh, somebody in the chat room pointed out something. This is one that I love, and that another regular in the chat room talks about all the time, called I Hate Fairyland.
I Hate Fairyland.
So the original series, which came out several years ago, starts off with this young girl who's like 12 years old or whatever. She takes a trip into Fairyland, and then she gets stuck in there for 22 years. So she's growing up. Yeah.
Okay.
That one. So they have a sequel series that just started last month. Issue number one came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as fluff and hilarious. That, by the way, is the main premise of this series, is all of the swear words are replacement words. So it's fluff this. You fluffin' fluffers are in my fluffin' way. And the variant cover is the actual fire truck word, Fairyland.
Brilliant.
Yep, it's awesome. I mean, Scotty Young, just brilliant guy. I recommend thousands of comics, just to be honest.
Yeah, I know of that series, but I have not read it yet.
It's good, it's lighthearted, violent as shit.
Okay.
And it's hilarious.
Well, that sounds like something I would enjoy.
That's why I was saying, yeah, that suggestion I'll throw out, because it's like definitely one worth mentioning. I'll mention it all the time, because I love that stuff.
All right. So now I got some stuff to look for when I go back to the comic shop.
Absolutely. All you have to do is follow my Blue Monkey Comics Instagram, and you'll see new stuff being posted all the time.
Let me go in there and do that.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have a new follower on Instagram? Yay!
Blue Monkey?
Blue Monkey Comics. Comix. You'll see a plush blue monkey as the icon, as the image.
There you are.
Hey, that's me.
I'm following you.
Excellent. So every Saturday I put out new copies of whatever books have come out that week that I brought in.
Ooh, I'm looking at your page right now.
There you go.
All right.
See all that cool stuff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. So any of my readers who are listening to this, go follow the page on Instagram if you have an account. I'm like scrolling through right now looking at all this like, oh, the Creep Show.
Yes, that's a whole new series too. That's up to issue 3 or whatever. It just came out last week.
Man, they do not have that in my comic shop.
What?
No.
I sold out of the variant covers the first weekend each time.
I feel violated.
You better yell at them.
Oh yeah, this is good stuff, man.
Yeah, and every once in a while I put up oldies and goodies too, because like I said, I have a bunch of Vampirellas and Eeries and Creepies there. I kept issue number 1 for myself of Creepy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful book. I love it. Oh, and Creepy number 13, because that's Bernie Wrightson's first appearance in print.
Okay.
Yeah. And after that, I don't know what I'm doing with any of the rest of them. I'm probably just selling them.
Yep.
Whatever. It's all good. So, anything else you feel like yapping about for a couple minutes? And by the way, yapping is not a bad word. It's actually just like chatting and stuff, just in case somebody gets offended.
Ah, well. I'll get
it. Oh, offense is the new buzzword for a lot of things.
Yes. Yep. See, we've talked about writing. We've talked about movies, comics.
Cookies?
Books. Cookies? Cookies?
I gotta talk about cookies at least once. What's your favorite cookie?
My favorite cookie, it has to be the mega stuffed Oreos when I let it soak in milk.
Okay, that's a good one. But bad news for you.
Yeah.
The creamy stuff in the middle contributes heavily to heartburn. I had to stop eating Oreos.
Well, that's disappointing.
I know. That's why I was so thankful that my favorite cookie, Fudgios, don't.
Ah, the more you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's like all of a sudden, about a year or two ago, Oreos started. I have heartburn, but the Oreos started making it's like, oh, okay, instant heartburn. Great. Let's not have that.
It's asking for the pain.
Yes, and we don't like need that. No. Especially not when you're old, right?
I know. Things you have to change.
Yep. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. You gotta watch that one too.
Okay. I will give it a try. I have gotten like overloaded with just the plethora of Marvel stuff. Like I just gave up. I couldn't keep up with it all. I just was like, I just felt so defeated, and I can't keep up with all this.
Did you watch the Werewolf by Night Halloween special?
No.
That one was fantastic. That was like watching the comic come to life for Werewolf by Night and Man-Thing and Elsa Bloodstone. Marvel characters and the more supernatural, scary stuff. Yeah. I love them. And I thought they did a fantastic job. Like, of anything made by Marvel this year, probably one of my favorite things.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out because I am a Werewolf by Night fan. I actually have one hanging on my wall right now. One of the covers I like with... let me see what that one is.
Adventure into Fear, one of them?
I'm looking at... I can't see what number it is from here, but it's got him and Dracula on it fighting.
Ooh. Okay, cool. I think I remember that cover.
And then I have several in my boxes, but that was my favorite cover, so I put it on my wall so I could stare at it and say, I like that cover.
Yeah, that's why I have all that stuff up there, over there, over there, over there.
Yeah.
There.
And like what I like about having everything out like this, because I haven't been able to do it for a while because the place I lived before, I wasn't able to have all of my stuff out. So... But what I like about this, it's like there's like inspiration all over my room. You know,
yes.
With all of the different covers, it's like I can look at a cover and it can make my mind start churning in a story. Or I can look at my movie posters or my VHS collection. And
the
or
fact
like,
that people still have VHS collections always makes me giggle.
I love the old school VHS, especially the artwork, and there's just something about having that physical VHS media that takes me back to my childhood and when I first started to fall in love with horror and that nostalgia of going to the video store and renting that movie and that excitement of coming back and watching it. So that always takes me back.
Yeah, but can you still play them?
I do. They still work.
I mean, for how long? How much longer?
Well, I don't know. So I watched the VHSs very, very sparsely.
Okay.
I have like three or four working VCRs that I take really good care of. So, for example, like Evil Dead, I have it on VHS. So
that is one of the few that I do still have the VHS copy of.
Sometimes, and it's not every year, but every year, I mean, I watch Evil Dead several times a year, but every so often, every couple years ago, on Halloween night, I will put Evil Dead in on VHS and hook it up to old CTR television and or CRT television and watch it, like going back to my early days of horror, so get that nostalgia in.
All right. I'm not going to judge. I mean, I grew up in that same era as well, but I've kind of moved on to the more digital environment.
Oh, well, I still watch the digital stuff. Like, that's what I watch all the time.
I'm being facetious.
But I like
it's my favorite word.
Facetious.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Tell me.
Anytime I bring up the word facetious, I have to bring up this fun fact. It is the only word in the English language that has all of the vowels in the word in the exact same order that they appear in the alphabet. A, E, I, O, U. And if you go facetiously, that includes the Y as well.
That, I like that.
I know. It's one of the reasons why it's my favorite word. Because it's like, wait a sec. That doesn't make any sense, but it's true.
It's so much order.
Yeah. It's like somebody planned it. It's like, nope, nobody planned it. It just sort of worked out that way because facetious is a derivative of a Latin word.
Yeah.
And we all know how well everybody understands and knows Latin. Hey, they made it a movie. Yeah, what they said is, you're a dum-dum, you're a doo-doo, and that bird goes poop.
Yeah.
And that's how they summoned that demon. Wait, that was a sperm demon. What?
Yeah.
See how I rolled that back?
I did. Very clever.
So... Where can people find you, stalk you, find you, whatever, as long as they're not going to go all misery on you and smash your feet and whatever?
I am on Twitter. That's my main social media outlet, at Ezekiel Kincaid. I'm on Instagram, same thing, at Ezekiel Kincaid. My new website is The Paranormal Pastor at Squarespace. So I've launched a brand new website.
I gotta say, I like that name.
Thank you. Thank you. So I will have my WordPress site back up in a little while. I kind of took it down because I'm working on the format and doing some changes on the WordPress site. But I've got my Paranormal Pastor site up. It's pretty much functioning now. Still a couple more things I need to do for it. So Twitter, Instagram, The Paranormal Pastor, Squarespace is my website. And then my Amazon page, Ezekiel Kincaid, you can go there and you'll find Johnny Walker Ranger. You'll find the Dreadful Death series. You'll find my short werewolf book, The Memoir of Darius Fisher,
For
that
a second there, I thought you said you could find your short werewolf. It's like, okay.
my short werewolf book is there, which I've got another. After I'm done with the psychological horror, I'm going back to werewolves. I have a fantastic story that I want to pin, because
Excellent.
I am a huge werewolf fan. Werewolf is my spirit animal. I want to be one. So,
You too can be a werewolf. All you have to do is send away 995 to this special number, and they will get back to you with some fuzzy grassland.
if only it were that easy.
Okay,
But yeah, I'm taking it back, with the werewolf story. I'm taking it back to my passion, to one of the creatures that I have always loved and adored. Darius, the memoir of Darius Fisher was, which is, this is wild. And this doesn't happen too often for authors, so I feel really blessed. The memoir of Darius Fisher was the very first piece of fiction I ever wrote, and it got picked up for publishing by Grinning Skull Press. And I'm going back to my roots. Like, I started with werewolves because that was a thing that I loved, and I was like, if I'm going to try to get published, I'm going to write what I love about. Not that I don't love these other things, like I do, but what I'm saying is just going back to that deep passion, the thing that started me off in writing. So, because that was back in 20, I think Darius Fisher got published in like 2018, 2019. And so I'm going back to my werewolf roots, after I'm done with this psychological body horror, and I'm gonna work on cranking this out and getting a full-length werewolf novel in the hands of my readers. And again, it will be original. Darius
cool.
Fisher, if you, people, you can go on that, like, you can go get that on Amazon for only 99 cents. I guarantee you it will be original. It's not just your same old werewolf tropes. Like, we do all love the tropes, but a lot of times when we read, we want something a little different.
Absolutely.
And so I think people will really enjoy the direction that I take Darius Fisher. It is a original spin on what causes lycanthropy,
So it's not
and
an
then
original sin, it's an original spin.
original spin.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you know how I know you're going to go back to werewolf stories?
How's that?
Your hair has grown out from the last time we
Yeah.
talked.
Yep. It has. And that first picture was a little older. And so that one that I sent you, that was just from about maybe a month and a half ago. So
Excellent.
yep, the hair is definitely long. I'm getting some more piercings too. I've got a big tattoo planned here in the not too distant future.
Well, if you weren't going to hell for your writing, you're going to go to hell for the rest of that stuff, according to certain people.
Yeah, let them say what they want.
Exactly. So in the meantime, that really brings us to the end of the show.
Well, I have had fun as always, man. Thank you for having me on.
And I appreciate you coming on. It's been a hoot and a hanny. And I think they say that sort of thing down south in the somewheres.
Yeehaw.
I know they say that out east. So we'll go with that. So thanks for coming on, Ezekiel Kincaid. I know you've got lots of writing in you, and you've got lots more coming out. Everybody in the chat room and the streams and whatever else is listening, find his stuff. It's out there. And then come back every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this Fun Factory radio channel. Find us on the Facebook, find us on the Twitters, find us on the Instagram. We are always around doing all that fun stuff. Thanks a bunch. Have yourselves an amazing After Rotten good time, and see you next time on After Rot. We'll be right back.